Hi, I'm Michael Senoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and it was then that I knew I had to have a business that I could operate from home. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive. You know, you can approach a car dealer and say, hey, how would you like to lease a car to me and I'll trade you for advertising? Right. Now, and you can find a radio advertiser in their local market and buy the trade dollars in script or what they're called due bills, and you can buy that at 20 cents on the dollar, and then you can trade the car dealer the advertising for a car or a lease. Radio station managers who have car dealers as clients are always driving the car dealer's car. They're leasing it because they're doing trades. Hi, this is Michael Senoff with HardToFindSeminars.com and Barter Secrets. Here is an intensive question and answer session from one of our new Secret Loophole product orderers. And he had a lot of questions for me, and I took them one by one. And by the end of this conversation, I was pretty burned out. But I'm sure his questions will be some of your same questions and concerns in relation to the Secret Loophole package. So listen in, and I hope this helps. Enjoy.
First off, iTex, do they have the contact information?
And for a while, they had it up there. See, they just did a merge. They just bought out BXI.
Yeah.
And it was up there, and I was really surprised. But you could go there and search everything. But I think since then, they have removed it.
Right.
But however, I can get you into iTex if you call my broker, and I'll give you his name. I'll email it to you, his name and number, and he will still let you sign up without any upfront fee. Now, we were just talking, you know, he doesn't know anything about my Barter Secrets course, and you're not going to mention anything about that, but if you want to get signed up as a trade member, tell him you're a friend of mine, he's going to ask you, what do you sell? You could sell advertising or consulting or whatever, but to be able to get access into the site, you'll pay a $20 a month cash fee to be a member if you choose, but you will have full access to all the iTex members and the BXI members.
You just probably eliminated a number of my questions.
That's okay. Let's take care of them each one at a time. Now, he had told me about this because he was talking about the new philosophy once BXI and iTex joined together, and they don't want to put any barriers. They want traders to come in there and transact business because that's how they really make their money. The brokers take a piece of all the business that's transacted, and this barrier to entry, this upfront fee, was keeping a lot of people from coming in. So that's his personal philosophy, and he told me if I refer anyone, he'll get them in for free and just pay the $20 fee, and he will take care of that, and I'll set you up with that.
Wow. Wonderful start here. All right. Well, let's just go through your history. When you did join, I understand you probably jumped in to be a trader, period.
Absolutely. I had no idea about this concept. I joined just like every other business joins, and I jumped in to sell items. I think I first originally started thinking that I could sell my pen products, my invisible ink pens, my red eye pens, my counterfeit money detector pens. These were items that only cost me about 17 cents to manufacture. So if I was to sell them, even at my wholesale, $1.50 a pen or $2, I still had huge margins to work with, and selling them on trade was quite easy. As a matter of fact, now that I'm talking about it, I do remember when I signed up with BXI, I called the broker's office and asked them to send me a national list of all the photographic labs, the one-hour photos, who were members of trade, and I telemarketed that list and sold thousands of dollars worth of my red eye remover pens to businesses who are members of the BXI Trade Exchange, and I think I did the same thing for iTex. So that was one of the main reasons I joined, to earn trade dollars, and I started earning trade dollars, and slowly I started learning about the system. And I started creating and selling different trade products as well. I sold a membership to rent information products. At that time, I had access to these CDs that taught people how to learn different software programs. And I did a rental membership I was selling. I was selling Velcro, large rolls of Velcro that I found a source to buy very inexpensively. So anything I sold, I made it a rule to sell it at 5 times markup. So if I bought something for $10, I would sell it for $50 on the ITEX and BXI trade exchange. And I was able to do that. So I ended up with very similar outcome. Since I was making 5 times my money, my trade dollars were still very powerful. It's the same exact math as if I'm buying the trade dollars at 20 cents on the dollar. It works the same. It's just the reverse.
Right.
But by buying, I eliminate all the commerce and the selling and the inventory and all that stuff.
Right. Well, I see the barter in itself, just the way it's intended, is fabulous. And then when you do it, it's just kind of a shorter version of the whole process. I understand what you said. You started out with the initial selling pins, and then you kind of broadened and joined in different aspects, or did you add on to your...
I just added different products, but I looked for products that had nice margins.
Right. Which barter exchanges are worldwide? Have you experienced those, or have you only dealt within the United States?
I've only dealt mainly in the United States, BXI and ITEX. There is one called Barter Card, which is worldwide. They're all over the world. But when you sign up, like if you sign up within the UK, I think it's only good within the UK. But there is ITEX internationally. I think in Egypt there's an ITEX office. So there's something called reciprocal trade, which you heard me talk about. So reciprocal trade makes it possible to use your trade dollars that you earn here in the U.S. worldwide. There are ways of doing it, and it's called reciprocal trade.
As a member or a non-member, how many barter company member lists have you had access to, or do you at the present time?
Well, as a member of BXI, I had access to the entire list of BXI. I had entire access to the list of ITEX. I'm a member of Intagio, which I had the entire list, which I'm a paying member of that. And there's been some smaller trade organizations that have been operated here locally. One including was BarterCard, which I was a member, but that local office isn't doing well, and I'm no longer a member of them. And then there's been a couple here locally that have come and gone, which I've had access to. But you have more than enough with ITEX, and now ITEX owning BXI. You have tens of thousands of companies.
Right.
And you only need a handful to make something work.
Right, exactly. And you've operated, I call it from the outside, as a non-member for the last, how many?
I operate both ways. I mean, I operate as a member and doing my buying the trade dollars. So I do it both ways. I mean, just recently I had someone purchase $2,500 worth of J. Abraham products from me. And I just had it go right into my account because I still have an ITEX account where I have funds in there. When you're a member and you have an ITEX account, it is easier to do the transaction. You've got to look at your margin. So if I sold $2,500 worth of trade of my J. Abraham product, you know I'm going to have made a good margin because I buy this stuff cheap. So it was almost like free money. The only thing I have to take into consideration is when $2,500 worth of trade goes into my account, by the time I sell it, I'm paying 10 cents on the dollar cash, you see? So I knew by accepting that trade, that cost me $250 by the time I sell that trade or get it out of my account. Does that make sense?
Sure.
You pay 5% in cash when it goes in your account, and when you spend it, you pay 5% cash. So that's 10% total. Remember, that's how the brokers make their money, the money coming in the account and going out. But I'm paying 10 cents on the dollar in cash. I knew my cost for that transaction was $250. So I had $2,500. So I really had trade dollars at 90% margin because the stuff I sold basically didn't cost me anything.
Mm-hmm. But when you say that, I guess that's where I get a little confused because I hear all these different exchanges and you pay if you sell it or if it goes out of your account. So what you just said, is that true with all barter exchanges?
All barters have to make money to stay in business, and they make money just like a bank makes money. You deposit money in your bank, they're taking your money, lending it out, and making more percentage points in whatever investments, you see?
Always 5 and 5.
Some barter exchanges have it set up different ways. Some will do 10% when you take it into your account and nothing when you sell it. Some will do 5 and 5. Some is 6 and 6. Some is 7 and 7. Some are as high as 15 cents on the dollar. Some are even lower. You just got to look and see what their rates are.
Exactly. At this point, they see the...
I think ITEX is 10%, 5 and 5.
If you're in a exchange, why would you drop out?
The only reason you would drop out is if you don't want to pay the measly $20 a month.
Other than that,
get in there, get the list of advertisers, shoot them an email. Do you by any chance have any extra trade dollars you'd be willing to sell for cash? It's as simple as that.
You just don't do it a whole bunch like you kind of did.
Just say, I'm an ITEX member, you're in advertising. Do you by any chance know of anyone who may have an extra trade dollars that they'd be willing to sell for cash?
So you had your telemarketer, the gal, do this calling. Were you calling everybody at that point?
Not everyone. We were calling more than just the publishers. We were calling the air conditioning. I started with the list. I think advertising was first, and it went down to air conditioning and maintenance. But we didn't even touch the whole list. But we found there was so much money in the publishers selling advertising. And it made sense because they're selling air. They're selling space. So it's easy for them to sell, and they sit on a big dollar volume to trade dollars, a lot of them. But all you need to do is find one or two.
Did you just, out of constant curiosity, I think there's 2,000 some that I saw listed in advertising. Like, did you call a dozen of them?
No, we called more than a dozen. We called over 100 or more.
And they were nationwide? You didn't
know? Nationwide, didn't matter.
Yeah. And no, is there any kind of advertising that's more to have access? Is there some that really load up on it, you think?
No, you just got to make the call. Radio advertising is generally probably more expensive than someone who advertises classified ads. You know, you just got to run the gamut. It isn't going to take you long to find the dollars, that's for sure.
The idea of joining in this reciprocation concept, is it advisable to join, let's say, a free exchange, and then they can give you some out of the ones you pay for? You know what I'm saying? They can talk and locate what you're looking for?
You can do that, and I know there are free exchanges that can do that. If you want to go that route, that's fine.
Barter it online, I see it's free to join. I don't know if you...
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, you can join them. That's fine.
Did you say member of five of them? Or involved with them?
Right now, I'm involved with two. Well, I was three, BXI, ITEX, and Intaggio. BXI now is owned by ITEX. I'm just with ITEX and Intaggio. All you need is ITEX. It's plenty. They want you to do business within the exchange. They look at you. You're an asset if you have a viable product or service that their members want. Because if their members want it, there's going to be business transacted. In any business, every $100... that exchange is going to make cash on all that business transacted. They want activity in the exchange. They have brokers working in the office to help facilitate deals. If you had a commodity, something that was really needed, you're going to be pounded with business. People in the exchange wanting to buy your product or service. And all the number of dollars that transacts, the exchange makes money. That's why they want you.
So they don't really give a hoot about meeting you or...
Not even. Nope. They could care less.
Right.
They want your money.
I guess I'm looking at it from both angles. If I was to pursue and look for a company to work for me, it's up to me to discover what their reputation is or whatever, correct?
If you were to look for a company to work for, you mean an exchange?
Let's say I want somebody to do a job in my house for me, a roofing job, and they're listed as in the barter exchange. It's up to me to find out how reputable they are.
Oh, yeah. It's up to you. Because there are a lot of members of the trade exchanges that are flakes. You know, you have to do your due diligence on any business you're doing with. The trade exchange doesn't screen all their members.
Right.
Absolutely not. It's like, you know, on eBay, it's buyer beware. You know, you need to do your due diligence on the company and check them out before you use them.
I'm just giddy. I can't remember being this giddy from what you just told me. I'm looking over my questions. I'm like, oops, he already... Well, I mean, there's a need for that one. As far as this guy, you say, you can give me his email, and I can set it up for $20. That sounds like the way to go, because I've been concerned about, you say, you just call somebody else if they won't waive the initial fee. Here in Iowa, I don't have as many choices as you do. I've got two in Nebraska and one in Iowa. So I was a little concerned about that. I'm thinking, okay, if I sign up as a local service provider, why would I call a California broker?
Well, he's going to ask you, what do you do? What kind of business are you going to plan on being in?
That's exactly where I'm not too sure how I legitimately can say what I'm looking into this business recovery I mentioned to you. And I talked to a guy, quite lengthy discussion last night with him.
Mm-hmm.
I want to kind of cover some bases. And I'm not too sure if that's something that I could say. I'm in the process of starting up. I almost considered having him join it and we do it together.
You can say that you're getting into the judgment recovery business. That's perfect. That's a great business, and it's national. I wonder if there's anything on the exchange of people doing that. When I saw that, it did remind me of something, and that was there's collection agencies, a lot of them on trade. You know, you could go to any business and sell a collection agency service and hire the collection agency and pay them 20 cents on the dollar.
It seemed like a natural fit. The guy I talked to last night, I said, now, what would you do if you were yourself starting over? What did you find that you made mistakes? Because I tried to do business for individuals. They were flaky, or they would change their mind. They'd see somebody and they decided they're a friend. They go, now you want to focus on businesses. So here I'm thinking, here's this barter network full of businesses that probably have challenges that this guy could address, or we could address as a judgment recovery specialist. So that kind of seemed like it might be in demand, and it's a specialized, somewhat new field. So, but anyway, that's what I'm kind of leaning toward. You know, to honestly say this is what I'm doing, instead of trying to come up with something halfway fabrication, you know, like...
Well, when you feel comfortable with something, you know, you tell them, maybe get involved with that a little bit, and then that can be what you're doing. They're not going to check you. They're going to take your word for it. You're going to fill out an application. It's not going to be that detailed, and you'll be good to go.
Well, I want to be a TIM member. I need a tax ID number. I assume that's a basic need, no matter what you're doing.
Well, if you're doing it under your person, a sole proprietor, all you need is your Social Security number.
Okay.
That's just your Social Security number, because if you earn money in the trade exchange, let's say you're selling the judgment recovery service, and let's say you're using your account to deposit the funds, they're going to report that as earned income, just like if you work for somebody. So all you need is your Social Security number. I'm incorporated, so I use a federal ID number for my corporation, so it's a little different.
I have a need for an attorney. I've mentioned this to you, I believe, for a tax lien put on my house. Because I have the, for example, I'll use this as could I possibly call up, and on this initial, maybe your individual you're talking about could assist me with this, could I get on the phone and either now or as I'm about to join, just try to accomplish two things. Tell them my situation, and I'm considering joining, and could I get an idea of what your barter does offer? Do you have attorneys that I'm in need of? Would he give me the list of, and he's here, you can contact these people and see how it works for you. You can either do a cash deal or a barter deal.
You know, I don't know. I think what I would do is you do the due diligence on your attorney. I would get joined up first.
And then he'll reveal basically who's in the barter.
Yeah, he's going to give you a username and password right into the site. You'll have all access to all that online. I wouldn't mix the two. Keep it separate. Get signed up first.
Well, I'm concerned about doing this in a timely manner. And what you told me should, in my mind, cut that down to a short amount of time. Because I've been so concerned about how to do this properly. And for a home remodeling job, I read from Bob Myers. Does that mean anything to you? Fast Startup Program in the... I read it in Barter News.
It doesn't ring a bell, but I have subscribed to the Barter News. I haven't read that specific article, but what did you read?
It's a for sale. You know, it's a year's consultation with him, a video, and give you an idea of how a couple or a man, whatever, had a house remodeled and had all these contractors involved and how to go about it. I just thought you might have touched on that.
Certainly, I can tell you specific things that I've done to my home on trade. I had a whole entire fence put up on trade, a wood fence. I paid for the wood. The labor was all in trade. I had a $3,000 job. My entire ceilings, I had the popcorn taken off. That was all on trade. I had my house painted on trade. I paid for the paint and supplies, but I had it painted about 8 years ago on trade.
But you actually traded for it when you were...
Well, this is when I had trade dollars, but it's irrelevant whether I sold the products to earn the money or even I could do the same thing, buy the trade dollars and pay my vendors.
Right. For example, for my situation, let's say I signed somebody with excess points, I'll call them points instead of trade dollars, okay,
mm-hmm.
From an advertising company, let's say, and I buy $20,000 worth of points from them, $4,000. That way I could use the $20,000 to pay for these laborers, correct? I find, let's say, the total that I need in the way of work contractors, let's say it's 10 different contractors, 2,000 apiece, just to make it easy. So I buy $20,000 worth of points from an advertising company.
Right.
And it costs me $4,000 because I get them.
Yes, that's right.
So I approach the contractors.
What you're going to do, you're going to get signed up as a member. then you're going to have free access to call these contractors to verify and make sure that they can provide the services that you want. You're going to negotiate a price. You're going to have a firm price, have them maybe send you an estimate in writing, make sure you understand what you're paying in cash, if they have a half cash and half trade, or whatever your deal is, get it in writing. So you have your vendors, they've agreed to do the work, they've seen your home or whatever, and you want it done, and they want it done for X amount of trade dollars. So now you know how many trade dollars you need. Now you go find the trade dollars and execute the deal.
And you approach them initially stating that I'm going to use trade dollars?
You say you're an ITEX member.
I thought you might want to keep them honest by saying, how much will this be? And, you know, just out of, like an off-the-street person.
That's sometimes a good technique, is just to call them and say, I'm interested in having my house painted. Can you give them a quote? You're going to have to let them know you're an ITEX member anyway.
Right.
Either way, some may try and inflate the price on you, and if they really jack it up and it doesn't make sense financially and you're not getting good value, you move on to someone else.
And I believe I've made way too much of this in my email to you before. I believe I've already answered. So you've got however many trade dollars, Mike. You've got $10,000 trade dollars.
Right.
You can buy them and use them for anything, as long as they're in that right exchange. If you've got ITEX.
That's right. Let's say you approach me and I'm an advertiser and you say, Mike, I want to buy 10,000 trade dollars for $2,000. I say, that's fine, Ken. You give me the $2,000 cash and then just tell me what you want me to buy for you, where you want me to deposit the money.
Excellent. So it's just that.
It's an agreement between you and him, you and me. You're giving me cash. You're going to say, Mike, I'm going to buy these from cash, but I need you to just make the purchases for me out of your own account. And I'd say, that's fine. Tell me where you want them. All I need is a seller's ITEX account number. So if you want me to buy the services to get rid of popcorn off your ceiling, you give me that guy's ITEX number, and then the deal can be done just by doing it online or faxing him a check, a trade draft.
Are you aware of any nationally known fast food, Burger King, McDonald's, whatever, involved with Scripper?
Burger King and McDonald's?
Yeah.
Not that I know of, no. But it doesn't mean they don't exist.
Okay. I'm sure the broker would know it.
Yeah, the brokers really know all that stuff.
Yeah. That expiration date, experience in a different state.
You're going to have to do your own research. When you find script, you got to find out what the terms are. Does it have an expiration date? California, there's a law where you cannot put an expiration date on script.
If I was to look for a business that's an interest I have, imprinting on a T-shirt, how would I find something like that?
Once you get into the ITEX exchange, you'll search specialty advertising. Everything's categorized. Advertising, lawyers, heating and air. You have all the different categories on the website broken down. You'll be able to find anything you want easily.
When you find a member, I'm sure you know this, with all your hunting and that, what do you see when you run across Joe Schmo's painting service? What is this, their address, contact number?
Yeah, sometimes you have links to their website, too. Name, phone number, address, websites, description sometimes.
Right. How about is alcohol something you can get, like a lounge? Is there some reason you can't, they don't deal with that?
Are you saying, are there restaurants that serve alcohol where you can pay by trade?
Right, I guess. I'm asking you.
Every restaurant, you can check. You know, the script may have restrictions and say the script is good for food and drinks only, not including alcoholic beverages, and your tax and tip must be in cash. But I'll give you an example. There's a restaurant right here in Pacific Beach I just went to 3 weeks ago called the French Gourmet, and you can pay for your wine on trade. So wine by the glass is available on trade. So every restaurant, you'll have to look and see what their restrictions are. Some may offer it, but you're going to have to see.
I was looking at it as an example of being the middleman and buying trade dollars. For example, I pay for the advertising person, whatever, 2,000 to 10,000 points, and I get from that lounge, I say, I would like to buy 100 script, pieces of script from you, $100 each.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's $10,000, which I have. And the lounge customer, the patron of that lounge, by $65 or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. You can do that. But when you negotiate that with the business, it's just you and him. You're negotiating a deal. You're saying, I'm going to give you $10,000 in trade for your lounge, and I need script. But you set the terms with them. You're the boss. Say, look, but here's the deal. I want this script to include drinks by the glass plus food, but the tip has to be paid in cash. So you negotiate it. It's your deal.
I have three more ideas that popped my head as far as, could a person buy a car? Let's say there's no dealers in my area that I could buy from a dealer with 100% trade dollars, but they deliver it to my area or an area of interest?
There are cars available on trade, used cars mainly. Yes, you can buy a used car on trade, but you would have to make the arrangements of having it delivered. I don't know if there's any transportation services that transport cars on trade, but if you can get the car at such a deal and you just pay for the transportation in cash, it may make it worth your while.
The dealers are unlikely, though, you're saying.
Oh, dealers?
Yeah.
I haven't seen my dealers up on the trade exchange offering cars, you know, new and used cars. There are cars for sale on trade. Most likely they're used cars, but it doesn't mean you can't strike a deal. You know, you can approach a car dealer and say, hey, how would you like to lease a car to me and I'll trade you for advertising?
Right.
And you can find a radio advertiser in their local market and buy the trade dollars in script or what they're called due bills, and you can buy that at 20 cents on the dollar, the advertising, and then you can trade the car dealer the advertising for a car or a lease. That can be done. Radio stations do it all the time. Radio station managers who have car dealers as clients are always driving the car dealer's car. They're leasing it because they're doing trades.
My small town here, I don't know if I ever mentioned this to you, we're wanting a community swimming pool. Okay, and it's $1.2 million is the estimate for that pool. I'm not sure that it's the kind of thing to look at. Is there such a, do you think there'd be a chance of a company or a builder of pools that could do this on trade?
You're not going to get the whole thing on trade, but you may be able to find a local builder who is not a member of the trade exchange, but maybe has a pretty good business, a good presence, and you could use the same advertising. What could you offer him to trade that you could buy from the exchange? And advertising may be a good thing. You're talking a million, that's a pretty big trade deal. You're going to need some cash outlay to secure the advertising, so... That's a big project. I think you're going to have a real hard time with that.
Would it be possible to get some sort of a referral fee with my tax if I helped bring in a business?
No, they're not set up as affiliates, and they're not going to give you a referral fee.
Do you want to establish a relationship with a broker like you do a bank loan officer, for example, or do you pretty much bounce around with whoever's available?
You know, it depends how active you are. I've known my broker for a long time, but I only call him when I'm looking for something. Anything I'm looking for usually can be found on the website. They've done a great job. All the members are listed right there. You get tens of thousands of them. So not too much reason to call. You know, I had a question. I was looking for some Entrepreneur Magazine advertising, and he could look into that. It is available, but only the brokers usually know about it.
Right.
So those are the type things. Or pretty much everything's on the website. You know, when you're looking for something, the brokers are there to help you. I mean, they have offices with people who are there to do nothing but help facilitate and do these trade transactions. I'm very adept to the computers. I'm used to online, but there's a lot of people who don't have computers. Before computers, that's how an office had to rely on their support, their staff, where a member of the trade exchange would call in and say, hey, I'm looking for a printer in my area. I'm looking for this. I'm looking for that. And the office is hooked into all their members. So that's why the exchange, they exchange information from the members to the contacts between the members. Think about before computers. Now it's all online. But still, those offices are set up there to support you, the member of the trade exchange. They want to help you. They're there to help you facilitate trade, because when they facilitate trade, what does it do? It makes them money.
Sure.
That's their entire goal.
And then if for some reason, I'm sure there's somebody else at that office that it's not just that broker you need to speak to, just like a real estate agent. There's one broker, there's a bunch of realtors.
Yeah, that's right. Well, some offices may be one or two man offices. Some may have three or four. It just depends.
And when you're a member of MacTech and you talk with them, is there ID, a number? Or
yeah, you'll have an account number. But you use your name. You know, you'll say, you know, you just introduce yourself to the broker and just tell them who you are. The brokers know who everyone is, pretty much.
If I was to go through your man
yeah.
in your area, I still have no problem talking to any...
You know, generally the brokers do it by area. You'll have to talk to my guy, and I'll see if he can get you signed up through California, even though you're not in California, but you can just explain that Michael Sinoff referred you, and you're a national business, so your geographic area really isn't related. But you'll use him. You'll go through him. He'll be assigned to you because he wants your business, because he got you. If he earned you and he got you, you're going to have to transact business through him. Or if you're transacting business through the website or whatever, those commissions go to his broker office.
Okay. Well, let's say I join your man. What's his name?
I'm going to email that to you.
I'll call him Joe. If I work with Joe and yet I want to buy services for my own personal use, would I contact...
Once you're set up and you're signed up, you don't have to worry about that because your number is in the system and ITEX knows that you're Joe's guy.
I don't have to go through him. It's just...
No. It's, even if you went through another broker and you asked to help facilitate something, Joe's going to get the credit. It's just like an affiliate thing.
Let's say I do join up. I'm the member, but I want to buy some trade credits from an advertising company and then have them on hand to pay... a painter for my home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really doing the traditional barter system. It's on their books. How do I do that?
You're going to find someone who wants to sell you the trade dollars. And let's say that person was me. I'm an advertiser. You say, you know, Mike, you got any extra trade dollars you'd be willing to sell for cash? I say, yes, I do. How much you need? You say, I need $10,000. I say, all right, I'll sell it to you for $2,000. You're going to give me $2,000, and we're going to agree that I'm going to buy on your behalf $10,000 worth of painting services. Broker Joe will make something on it, but he'll have no idea it has anything to do with you. Because me, as the ITEX advertiser, once those $10,000 come out of my ITEX account, Broker Joe makes a percentage on that, you see?
What you said makes a lot of sense and sounds great. You just tell the seller to pay the one I want to buy.
Yeah, just say, do me a favor. I don't have any trade dollars right now. If we did this, would you be willing to just buy my painting services on my behalf? Will you just put the trade dollars into the painter guy's account? And he'll say yes or no.
And no matter how you do it, there will be a commission.
Yeah, and the advertiser, once it comes out of my account, Broker Joe makes that 5% on the sale.
Felt a little bit bad trying to dodge a commission. I want to understand that there is a charge no matter what I do.
Well, you are dodging a commission. The result is he's still getting a commission on it. You're the one who really facilitated that deal. You are dodging a commission because ordinarily the advertiser, let's say you're set up with an account. If I didn't want to do it, I'd say, if you want to buy the trade dollars, I'm going to have to put them in your account. So once the $10,000 goes in your account, you're going to pay $500 because it just went into your account. You're going to pay another $500. Then let's say it's in your account. You go ahead and buy the services from the painter. You're paying extra 10% if you do it that way. If I'm okay paying it for you, then you're bypassing that 10% cash fee that you're going to pay, those 10 points.
So I am not paying anything.
Yeah, you're not paying anything. That's right. Your cash fee is when you negotiated that you'll pay him 20 cents on the dollar.
So it's costing who? For that transaction.
If you're buying $10,000 from me and you're just going to pay me $2,000, it's costing you the $2,000, 20 cents on the dollar for my $10,000 trade if I'm going to deposit the money into the painter's account. So who does it cost? It costs me, the advertiser. Once it comes out of my account, I'm paying that 5% fee to my broker. But in my account anyway, whether I spend it on the painter or whether I spend it for something on myself, it's still going to cost me money once it comes out of my account.
Are you going to look at it, though, as you're doing Kent a favor for putting that into my money and you don't want to charge me? That's where I think.
I'm looking at it. I want to sell these dollars, and I want to get them out of my account. I know it's going to cost me 5% to get this out of my account, but you're giving me 20%. So really, yeah, you got to understand, if someone has the money in their account, it's going to cost them 5% to sell it to you. You're paying them 20 cents on the dollar, so really they're getting 15 cents on the dollar by the time they sell it. Or you could approach it this way. If you want the money in your account, let's say you find someone who has trade dollars, you can say, I'll buy it for 10 cents on the dollar. And then you just say, well, it really cost me 20 cents on the dollar because when you put it in my account, by the time I sell it, it's costing me another 10 cents on the dollar. So in essence, it ends up costing you 20 cents on the dollar.
You can paint the picture that I'm doing you a favor. I'm going to be paying for these fees anyway for you.
You could do it that way. Is that clear?
Yeah. Would it be good for me to know what their structure is as far as when their taxes are due, your calendar year or...
Well, you could know. We've got the end of the year coming up. Let's say I'm the advertiser and I'm sitting on $50,000 in trade in my account. If I leave it in my account and December 31st comes around, I'm going to owe taxes on that $50,000 that I earned.
Right.
and I'm going to owe those taxes in trade. So a lot of times you'll see people soliciting to donate your trade dollars for good causes so you can get rid of those trade dollars and that tax consequence by the time the end of the year comes around, and you can use it as a write-off. So you may come out better by donating and dumping your trade dollars before the end of the year because you're going to pay cash on those taxes if you leave it in there.
Right. I'm looking at it as if I'm buying trade dollars from somebody. I'm going to do you as a favor here. Instead of you having a tax bill on the $50,000, I'm going to buy it from you for $5,000 or whatever.
You could approach it, absolutely. That could be a very good motivating factor for them to sell, yes.
That sounds serious about the fiscal year. If I knew when they would be paying taxes, whatever.
Now, there's a link on the recording that takes you right to the IRS's rules and regulations on barter. It's as clear as a bell. So go right to the IRS's website, and you know there's no better authority than them. No, there's a lot of good accountants and shitty ones, and if he doesn't know what barter is, he's not going to understand it.
Do you know if there's any way of sheltering trade dollars like you would cash in an IRA? Is that something you're familiar with?
I'm not familiar with any of that. Barter in the 70s and stuff used to be used as ways to avoid paying taxes and sheltering. And that's why finally the government legitimized the whole industry. You know, I don't condone any ways to use barter as a way to shelter income or avoid taxes.
I'm trying to do it legally. I'm just curious.
You need to talk to a good CPA. Good CPA can show you tricks that are legal and will let you write off as much as you can.
Okay, now we're on the process of buying the point. Get right down to it. You agree on the amount that you're going to pay whomever. How do you do that to lock it up, the process? Do you receive something from them, confirmation that
you
agreed on?
You can. If you and I are talking and you approach me, I'm an advertiser, and you say, Mike, will you sell me $10,000 in trade for $2,000? I say, yes. And you say, well, let's do it. I need you to put it in writing and go ahead and fax it to me. And so I'll put in writing that I agree to sell you $10,000 in trade. I will deposit. You just write out what each party is going to do. Get it in a letter of agreement, and once you have that letter of agreement, you do the deal.
If you're okay with fax or email either?
Fax, email. It's a win-win situation. You shouldn't have anyone who's going to try and screw you. But, you know, you should be careful and do your due diligence. And if anyone really wants to do the deal, you want to get everything in writing. You don't need a contract, but you need a letter of understanding of what each party is going to be doing.
Everybody pretty much has PayPal, I assume.
Not everyone, but if they do have PayPal, it makes it simple. Most people are honest. I've never been screwed doing this.
Sounds like what I want to do mostly would be the seller transferring it to the one I want to buy it from anyway. So it's pretty much between those two parties, correct?
In the agreement, you know, you're buying $10,000 worth of trade. Part of the agreement is that I'm going to purchase on your behalf the painting from Joe's Painting Service, and I will deposit X amount of dollars into Joe's Painting Service ITEX account number. You will provide me the ITEX number.
Okay, so it's a direct trade draft within the account that they both have. So it should be something. Yeah. And if I'm a non-member, it doesn't matter. That's because they are both. Do they give a hoot about who they're talking with as far as?
If you're a non-member, as long as you've talked to the painting guy and say, hey, you an ITEX member? Because the guy I'm borrowing the money from, he's an ITEX member too. He said, all I need is some kind of account number.
Okay.
That's all you need.
In one of your phone negotiations with the point seller from Intaggio, you said, as long as you're in good standing with them, and you do have the money, I could have one of the Intaggio brokers do it for me.
Yeah.
If you remember that conversation.
Yeah.
What do you mean by good standing?
Okay, there's some trade organizations. Let's say you sign up with a trade organization. Let's say your account is in the negative. You spent more trade than you'd have. So my account may be in the negative. And if it's in the negative, the barter company will freeze your account. So you won't be able to sell me trade dollars. If you owe the barter organization money, your account is going to be frozen. They won't be able to withdraw the money out of their account until they pay their cash fees, you see?
That's highly unlikely. I want to cross that up.
Well, some companies, there's some members of the barter exchange that owe cash fees, and if they're late on their cash fees, those are billed to them, their accounts are frozen, so they won't be able to get the money out of their account.
So how would you, have you ever run across that?
I never ran across it, but I'm aware of it. You need to make sure that their account is in good standing and it's not frozen. There's people who have maybe $50,000 in their account, but because they haven't paid their cash fees, that money is frozen, so they can't get it out. So that is going to be a no-go.
how do you find that out without
money? Ask them. Say you got the money. Is your account in good standing? Is your account frozen? Do you owe them any money? Because that's going to be important if we do this deal, because if your account is frozen or you owe them cash fees, you're not going to be able to get the money out of your account. You need to bring it up and make sure they're in good standing.
When you send the money to them, you're going to have it basically written up in there. This money is good as long as you are in good standing. When you negotiated buying the points on that audio, you seemed to offer an amount, and they either said yes or no. Have you ever offered lower than what you...
I have offered lower, and I've gotten a no. You just got to make the offer.
I don't know if there's... Because I'm a little bit, you know, one area I'm caught up on. Sounds like you're saying there's kind of a going rate for trade dollars.
There is.
By case, isn't it? By that person motivated more than the next, possibly.
Yeah, there's no rules. I've had a lot of people say, I want 35 cents on the dollar, 40 cents on the dollar. And I say, no way. I go, I can get it for cheaper, and I'll just keep looking. So you may have to go through 10 and to find that one. Or, you know, you decide what it's worth to you.
I think a few phone calls to make a couple hundred bucks is very much worth it.
Absolutely.
How do you learn if a company in the exchange is active?
Ask them. Call them. If they're in the directory, you say, are you guys still members of ITEX? Are you all still accepting ITEX? Are you still in the trade organization? It's an important question because sometimes the trade exchanges will keep them all as members, but they may not be active members. But if they've paid all their cash fees, and so what if they're not active? If their account is in good standing and there's money in their account, those can be ideal people because they just may not be interested in doing the trade. They've got this money sitting in their account, and they may love to close the account out, but they wanted to get something for the money they have.
Right. Let's say, Mike, I called you up and we agree on an amount, and I hang up. I don't necessarily act. Am I leaving myself open for you might settle the next caller? Is there a way that I could give you a deposit to hold it?
If you're just shopping and I say, okay, I'll do it for 25 cents on the dollar, you say, okay, I appreciate that. Let me get back with you.
You're kind of risking that he doesn't sell it.
Well, who's going to be calling him? No one's going to be calling him.
Hopefully. My luck.
No, don't worry about that.
Are there certain places you think just get a barrage of calls and buy their...
No one's getting a barrage of calls. No way.
I had this kind of negotiating tactic because I was kind of concerned about insulting them, you know, or whatever, and them not liking me from that point on, or wanting to do business with me. I didn't know for sure, like, say you call somebody and they might have them at one point, but they don't right now. Do you kind of establish a relationship for the future? Do you ask them, what do you think you're
doing? Yeah, I mean, you know, I had one of my guys who I bought from over a year ago. He emailed me last week. He says, Mike, I'm going to have about $6,000 in trade this Friday. If you're interested, let me know. So, yeah, keep a relationship with, because all you need is one or two relationships like that.
Okay, so you're really not fishing very often.
No, you're not.
Okay, all right. Well, I mean, that must have blown your mind when you got, what was it, 7-some cents?
Yeah, I was very happy.
I thought you contained yourself pretty well.
Very happy.
I didn't hear your smile necessarily in your voice, but I thought...
No, I was very happy. Yeah, this isn't some big mastermind game or negotiating skill or tactic. You got to look at, you're providing them a service. Some people are going to say no, but all you need is a couple that say yes, and you're good. It's really a lot simpler than I think you're making it out to be.
You're probably right. I just wish I had your experience. I feel as if I'm getting it by this phone call rate. Let's say I have something I purchased or I can get, let's say, advertising for cheaper than my car dealer or whomever. How in the world do I present myself as a knowledgeable person? They just know me as a guy off the street. How can they not question what I'm doing and what is this stuff hot? How are you getting this cheaper? How can you do this? You know what I'm saying? How do I represent myself and have... them have confidence in me.
You know, you're the guy with the merchandise. If you have an agreement from the person selling the advertising, a written agreement that says that they'll sell you X amount of advertising dollars, it's like a purchase order. If I get a purchase order from a company to buy 20,000 pens from me, and they fax me that PO, and I haven't delivered the product, I can take that purchase order and go get a loan on it. That paper is as good as a promise.
Right.
So... you know, they don't care about you. They want the goods. I mean, you can show them proof. You can say, if I could get you this advertising at this price, would you be willing to trade me for a car or lease for a year? Get their commitment, and then get an agreement in writing from the advertiser that they're willing to sell you X amount of advertising for this amount of money. Get it in writing, and you take it, and you show it to them, and then if everyone's still in agreement, you just do the deal.
I would think, for example, there's a friend of mine that works at a car dealership mm-hmm. in a neighboring town, and he told me, I can't remember what it is, how much they spend on advertising in the newspaper. Huge amount. I'm thinking, okay, if this paper is in the barter exchange.
You could sign a non-disclosure with your advertising sales rep, and you could put them in touch with the advertising sales rep.
And they won't say anything about
no.
how they can operate.
No, you just say, look, you're the advertising sales rep. I'm going to help you sell a lot of advertising to this car dealership. I'm setting up this deal. This is done all the time. My confidentiality is important. You just tell the rep. The rep wants to sell the advertising. They want to do the deal. The car dealer wants the advertising at a good price. It's win-win for everyone. No one's got any reason to screw up the deal. Everyone wants the deal to go through. So I think this credibility issue, don't worry about it. If you're worried about it, just put the advertising rep in contact with the dealer.
I just had a notion that they would somehow drop that he's involved with barter and that's how it's done, and then they end up circumventing me. And
No. Advertising, the radio stations and TV and car dealers all are extremely familiar with barter. But you're going to learn that most people are very nice, very honest, and are willing to do it.
You mentioned Act One or any company that decided they're going to close their account
mm-hmm.
and use a credit memo. What does closing their account mean?
Act One was a company that did video duplication, CD duplication. I used them for many, many years, almost 8 years. And I was giving them so much business, I think I loaded up their account on so much trade, they decided they didn't want to do any more trade. But I pre-bought, so let's say I knew I was going to need duplication, and I bought like $3,000 worth of trade. I deposited it into their account even before I took possession of the product. So I got a credit memo detailing that I had on the books a credit of, you know, $3,000. So they had to make good on that credit. But before that, they said, Mike, we're no longer doing trade. So for now on, after you use your credit up, you're going to have to pay cash, and that's what happened. But I was able to foresee and to pre-buy the duplication services to get in while it was good, because you never know when someone's going to close their account or when they get too much trade and they want to hold off on doing trade for a while.
Might they return to barter in the future?
They may return to it in the future, yeah. If they're closing their account, they may call ITEC to say, look, I don't want to pay monthly fees. I want to get out of this. They'd have to spend down their money first if they really wanted to close their account. I mean, why wouldn't they? But it means they're just not accepting trade customers right now.
ITEC's policy or rule that a business within the barter exchange must accept trade dollars, or is that to that business?
They're a member of ITEC. No, trade dollars is just if they choose to accept trade dollars. All the businesses in the trade exchange are normal businesses that operate on cash as well.
Let's say one of those businesses, like you mentioned your CD person, they didn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, they obviously are not dictated by ITEC.
No. If they don't want to do it, it's totally up to the member's choice. If they want to do it, they can do it. If not, they don't have to do it.
And they don't have to, let's say I'm in barter as a member, I can do a cash and barter deal. It's up to them.
Yes, you can.
You mentioned to Rob Plummer that plumbers don't make much in barter. To that effect, there's not. That just makes me wonder, why would there be plumbers left on
the kitty? Well, I talked about this in the recording. You can review that about companies that are selling hard goods. If you're a roofer and you're selling your roofing services all on trade, it ain't going to work because you've got all this money you've got to outlay for shingles and supplies and wood and nails and stuff like that that you as a roofer have to pay cash for.
That's what I thought I could, as a home, let's say I want a roofing job, and I do want a roofing job, then I could buy them with buying discounted trade dollars, and I actually take care of the supplies for them, and then they could provide them.
You're not going to find hard good products available on trade. The labor you can get on trade.
Okay, but it says building materials, and I didn't know that's where I was curious
about. You're going to have to go look. Once you're in there, you'll see what's available.
Yeah.
That's why you got to get in there. But I go into that in detail with the Rob recording.
I saw a mortgage lender. How in the world would that work?
Call them up? I don't know.
Buying that I would like to have work on my home. And I wanted to get, let's say, I wanted to appraise at a certain value, but the work isn't done at this point. As you said, you basically could pay in advance for your CD person and have credit memos. So would that work with these contractors for the appraiser's viewpoint, okay, this is what you're going to have done, it's already locked up. Did that just make sense?
It's all negotiable. If you want to have your kitchen cabinets redone on trade, I think that's available on trade, so having them resurfaced or whatever, and you have an agreement and they send you an estimate and it's in writing and you pay them the trade dollars, yeah, they owe you kitchen cabinets. And you could have already pre-ordered your service.
So that could go toward the value of the house. Basically a done deal on their mind.
No, you're going to have to deal with your buyer of the home. Really, you need to have them done before the appraiser of your home. They're not going to give you a higher appraisal because you've got a promise to do your kitchen cabinets. The kitchen cabinets are going to have to be done to get that extra value on your appraisal.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that is it. You've really, really made my day, Michael.
Well, you've grilled me. This will be a good recording, and I'm burned out.
Well, I was kind of hoping maybe I could come up with something you never thought of, and maybe...
No, you did. We covered a lot. That's great. Kenny, you do great. Just do it. Get out. Quit worrying. Do it. I'll email you my iTex guy's name. But what kind of business are you going to be? Just get that in your head.
If you were me and you didn't have anybody in this country, you just happen to be talking to them like you are me right now, and they wanted to get into this, what business would you suggest that they could start simply and easily and truthfully nationwide? Because I'm not too sure I want to commit to this judgment recovery.
Tell them you do marketing consulting. You advise businesses on how to grow their business. Tell them you're starting a business, but you don't want it publicized on the trade exchange yet until you really get going, but you want to get set up.
I am very much done and appreciate so much.
That's the end of this intensive interrogation on the Secret Loopholes package. I hope this has helped you. And if you have any additional questions, do not hesitate to call me. I'm at 858-274-7851. Now go on and listen to the other recordings in the Secret Loophole package. And most importantly, take action. Here's a tip. If you're listening to these audio recordings in MP3, here's a way where you can listen through the content twice as fast and still be able to absorb all the information. What you want to do is you want to go to a website and download a free trial of goldwave.com, GOLDWAVE.com. Now, this is an audio file editor, and one of the features on this editor is it allows you to play the audio recordings at any speed you want. So you can have it speed up to where it sounds like you're listening to the chipmunks where their voices are real high. But I do a lot of editing of audio recordings, and I find when I'm doing the editing, you're still able to listen to audio content about twice the speed of normal language. And it takes a little bit of practice, but you can fly through audio content. So if you like to learn by audio and you want to listen to content and you don't mind listening to the different higher pitch voice, it's a very effective way of getting through content twice as fast.